Goals in session!
Time to bust out some pen and paper, folks. You're tuning in to Freshman 15 with me, DJ Red. I've got the latest tips, tricks, and personal advice to make your college experience fan-frickin-tastic. So what do you have to lose? Let's get this show on the road. It's gonna take some time to realize.
But if you look inside, I'm sure you'll find. And welcome to Penguin Radio. This is DJ Red, your host for the next hour here on my show, Freshman 15. Welcome to another beautiful Friday here in San Rafael. I am really excited to be back in the studio again this week with you guys. We got a lot going on. I know I have a busy weekend ahead of me. I'm sure you guys have a lot going on as well. I'd like to start off my show today with a huge congratulations to all Dominican students who have traveled to the University of North Carolina at Asheville this weekend to participate in the 30th Annual National Conference of Undergrad Research. You guys are awesome, and we're really excited to have such young and brilliant minds representing our university. Just presenting on all the research that they've been doing this year. So congratulations to you guys out there. As I've mentioned before, I know I have a crazy busy schedule ahead of me this weekend, both in regards to the homework load that I have, and tomorrow as a student ambassador, we actually have a huge event. We're going to be bringing in prospective students for a 5-hour admitted student open house, and then immediately following that, I will be participating in the Sleep Revolution Fair held by the leadership minor here on campus. They're doing the ILS. Ariana Huffington will be in on campus. There's going to be a lot of really cool prizes. So if that's something you're interested in, head on out to Creekside between 4 and 6 p.m. tomorrow. I will be there along with a lot of other Dominican and community members to participate. It's going to be really, really fun. Sunday then carries over my crazy schedule. The Penguin Student Athlete Advisory Committee is partnering up with our recreational sports teams and stuff like that this Sunday, and we are actually hosting a fundraiser for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It'll be our second annual Home Run Derby, taking place from 1:30 p.m. till 4 p.m. out at the Penguin Softball Field. So if you're interested, bring yourself and your friends, $5 to participate, but even just as a spectator, come on out. We're going to be selling dollar dogs, drinks, and snow cones. It's bound to be a great event, so get on out there Sunday for that. Other than that, this is my show, Freshman 15. We're doing college advice, so let's get on into it. First segment today is college students. One task you will be doing often is choosing your classes. So I felt the appropriate first subject to get into is actually registering for classes, and not just doing it, but making sure it's the right ones. For all you Dominican students out there that are listening, our Fall 2016 registration is actually going to be next week, so this is really fitting for you guys listening in and everything like that. Prior to every semester you're going to have in college, you're going to need to figure out what courses you want to take for the next semester, or both need and want to take, and you want to set out that class schedule for the upcoming term. You can even figure out summer classes if that's something that you're interested in to either get ahead or catch up in your workload. And there's many things to think about when choosing your classes. Every student bases their class selection on different aspects, and I think there are some important factors to consider when selecting. So we're going to jump on into those, my experience with it, my advice on that, and stuff like that. So the first thing I would like to recommend to all of you, either registering next week or sometime in the next couple of weeks as this semester comes to a close, is to consider balance and the amount of classes you're actually going to be taking each semester. Here at Dominican, the max units you can take is 17 unless you are in the honors program. I know you can go up to 20 units, which is awesome. But it's not always about maxing out each semester. It's about balancing and taking the proper balance of hard and easy classes. And I think that's really important because you're not going to want to overload yourself taking 4 really hard 3-unit classes that involves a lot of coursework, whether it's reading or writing and stuff like that. You don't want your whole semester to just be bombarded with crazy hard classes, and it could potentially hurt your grade point average. So that's the first thing that I would recommend. As a communications major here at Dominican, I've had the opportunity to work with my academic advisor on balancing out that volume load in college, but I do understand that some majors have a pre determined schedule that they have to follow with certain classes, but I do think that spacing out your different labs and lectures, even if as a science major, they try and do a really good job where you're taking anatomy one semester and then physiology the next semester, stuff like that. So hopefully that's something you should be keeping in the back of your mind as you go to register. Freshmen, I think you should really focus on career exploration classes and finding what type of workload works best for you. I think it's really great because here at Dominican, the freshman's first semester is actually predetermined by their academic advisor for them, so they don't even get to choose their first semester classes. I think that just kind of takes the stress off of them. They're not knowing what are the required classes at this point. And I think the academic advisors or Vision Quest leaders here on campus are really great at just putting you in some exploration classes, as I've mentioned, and just getting your toes wet and in the door with college life. Also, remember, it's not just about balancing like the good and the bad. There's some required classes, obviously, that you're going to have to take. And that's based on your catalog year. So for those of you who are just coming into college, you're going to have a different catalog and a different set of requirements than, say, my year, where we came in with a different catalog and requirements. So that's something to keep in mind as you move forward, to always look back online at the archives of what your year's requirements are, because they will be changing probably every 2 to 3 years. So that's really important to keep in mind. I know that's something I've had to work out with the registrar's office in the last couple of weeks. And there's two different kind of required classes that you take while in college. You have both your general education requirements, and then you have your degree path requirements, whether it's your concentration, your core, everything in regards to your major that you're needing to take. So remember, if you have classes that need to be taken, normally they're going to have, if those kind of required classes like general ed classes, those are going to have larger number of students in them. So making sure you're on top of spacing all those out, because more people as we go into registration are going to need those science classes, need those math and English classes. So making sure you're on top of your registration, doing it early and doing it on time is imperative, because you don't want to miss out on getting that English class when it's a requirement to move on to the next one. And sooner than later, you find yourself behind, and you don't want to have to take an extra semester of college, because that's just going to financially burden you later down the line. I also think that it's important, so this is something that I have done personally. I like to consider myself kind of a personal guru when it comes to registering for classes. This is just a little sidebar on this, but when on our online program, it's called self-service, they put up the new catalog of all the classes that are going to be offered the next semester. I call that my personal Christmas, because I just get so excited when I get to see the potential classes I get to take next year, which is really weird. A lot of people make fun of me for it, but I love making schedules. So I feel like I have some good knowledge in regards to this. I work really hard at balancing out my schedule, and I've done a great job so far. But I digress. If you make a list of all the required classes you're going to have, sometimes you could just print these out from online or pick them up from your academic advisor. Having that list that you're then checking it off each semester and going back writing in maybe classes you're using as substitutions, that'll help give you like a written version of your requirements. And in general, just keeping that list is really, really important, as I've mentioned, because the catalog years change. It'll also make it easier deciding when and how many courses outside of your major you want to take, because besides requirements, you're going to have elective credits that you're going to want. So that's really important, and it kind of ties into what I want to talk about next, which is electives. So regardless of the major that you take, you're going to have a certain amount of required electives. Just taking your concentration won't meet the degree minimum credits that you're going to need. So this is a perfect opportunity to take classes that might interest you and may be beneficial to your educational career. Maybe there's a class you can take that relates to one of your hobbies, or you could just take a class that someone has recommended to you. In the past, I'm starting to actually do a lot of my electives right now, because as I move into my senior year, I am almost done with all of my requirements. I think at this point I only have 21 total units left to take, required ones, for my senior year. And so each semester I'm splitting that up as somewhere between 10 and 12 required units per semester, and then the rest will be filled in with electives. So I'm going to be taking a psychology class next semester where I look at adolescent development for non-psych majors, so I'm really excited about that. But that could be anything for you, whatever interests you. Maybe this is your time to get out and do some Zumba classes, or maybe you really want to go back and do some more artwork and learn how to get better at photography, so you take that introductory digital photography class, everything like that. Those are great elective courses to take moving into your senior year. Some majors, it's harder to wait until the end to do that. I realize that junior and senior year is really difficult for occupational therapy, nursing, and other health science related majors. But I think just spacing it out, as I've mentioned before, is really important. And taking classes outside of your major will actually complement your degree. Taking a few classes on subjects that you enjoy will make your overall college experience a lot more fun and enjoyable. And when it's unrelated to your classes or your major, it serves kind of as like a mental break for you and away from the normal studying that you might be doing. As I've mentioned before, just breaking out and doing those other art classes or maybe a beginning guitar class, things like that, that you can just emphasize your hobbies is really awesome for you mentally and stress management wise and everything like that. These outside classes will be less stressful, as I've just mentioned, and in general, it'll keep your mind fresh and you'll love learning a lot more. It's an opportunity to actually connect with students outside of your department, which is also really, really fun. The next little part about registration that I want to recommend to you guys is actually analyzing the professor and who's actually going to be teaching the class. It's a really important factor to consider, and every college obviously has their favorite professor among students and the ones that students might warn you against, so that's something important to look into. And the best way to know which professor to go with is to just simply ask around. You're going to get the best advice from word of mouth, asking students from other classes if they have had these professors before. And although it might seem a little weird, you even have the opportunity to sit in on some classes with your friends and obviously get the permission to do this with the professor before or even the registrar's office. But basically, you just sit in on the class and you analyze how this teacher leads their classrooms, and you can determine if this is the class that you actually want to take with this professor. And if something like that seems a little bit too out there for you, obviously you could do those online professor rating websites. I've mentioned it in previous episodes before, but there's ones called ratemyprofessor.com, which is actually pretty accurate, and it's based on an analysis of students that already go to your university, so you can always check that out as well. And keep in mind that a great teacher will make learning fun and engaging, no matter what subject that is. And these teachers are going to create a really engaging learning environment, which is what you want. And you want to be able to learn and participate. And some subjects are going to have teachers that are harder to find that in than others, and you may just be stuck with a class that fits with the rest of your schedule. But if you can find a class where you're going to enjoy the professor and you're going to be able to understand their learning style, you're going to be better off down the line. So I highly recommend looking into those professors that you might be interested in for your classes. So in case you are just tuning in, this is Freshman 15 with me, DJ Red, here at Penguin Radio. And I each week go into some college advice from my own experience and others that I have found and or talked to people about. And right now we are talking about registration, because I know for our university it's coming up next week, as well as other universities it is just around the corner, so it's an important topic to cover. Moving right along in our discussion, I've been talking a lot about people who already have their majors declared, and I think it's an important segment to jump into those undeclared majors, because sometimes picking what classes to take is hard when you technically don't know what's required of you. You haven't declared anything yet. So if that is the case for you, I think taking a few introductory classes into majors that might interest you is the best way to kind of figure out what you like. It's the same in regards to anything. You just kind of know whether you like math or English or writing. You know your strong suits at this point just from your 12 years of secondary and primary education that you got in high school and middle school. So you should be able to analyze what classes those might be. And taking a wide variety of classes within your first 2 years, this is your experimental phase. Just remember that, guys. And at some point, you're going to need to make a decision and nail down what your major is. You always have that opportunity to switch, but the longer you postpone that and the more switching you do, obviously you're going to need to stay in school a little bit longer to make sure you get all the required units to graduate with the degree path that you actually are interested in. So try and get the experimental phases out of the way in your first 2 years, and it gives your mind the opportunity to bend in different directions that and really find what you're actually interested in. You may just find a subject that you love and you didn't even know it existed. This was the case for me. My freshman year, I jumped into a graphic design class to fulfill my art requirements, and the more involved I got with it, I realized I was really into digital art and things like that. I felt it was a huge skill to build upon to make my marketing and public relations better, so I ended up declaring a minor in graphic design. And this may be the case with you. I've had friends as well do the same kind of thing with psychology or business, declaring those minors, and that's something that you can get really involved with to kind of make yourself a more well-rounded individual when you graduate. And this isn't just something that has to rest on your guys' shoulders. I know I'm giving a lot of information at you right now, but remember, this isn't just on you. We have resources out there like academic advisors and people like that who are out there ready to help you. They're there to talk about college and your department and everything like that. And most colleges actually require you to meet with your academic advisor, specifically your freshman year, but I highly recommend it every year. I know at Dominican, you're required to meet with your academic advisor every semester as like a check mark before you can actually register. So that's really beneficial. And the whole purpose of the academic advisor is to help guide you to take the right classes. And they're the ones helping you with those printed out to-do lists, getting those check marks done and things like that. So it's really beneficial to talk to these people. They can help with your planning or your transferring of units. Maybe you're in a junior college right now and you're considering transferring to another university. They're great at helping you see which of your credits can transfer over and things like that. And in general, really, really important to not just put this on your own shoulders, but to kind of delegate and ask for help when needed. The last couple of bits of advice I have in regards to registration are just a little nitpicky, and they're not as important, but should be important to you depending. First being the time of day that the class is actually required, maybe even the day itself. So if you know that you're not a morning person or don't like night classes because you're going to need to have a part-time job and that's the best time to work, obviously you want to look at scheduling your classes around those kind of things. If you are going to have a hard time staying awake in your early morning classes, don't take them. For me personally, I've always had to work my school schedule around my soccer schedule, so that's something to keep in mind, knowing that every Tuesday and Thursday between 12 till 2 or 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. I'm going to have practice, and knowing that I can't have classes during that time. So this is something important to remember when registering, and you don't want to put off classes that are only offered during that time. Sometimes that's going to come about, and that's obviously happened with our athletics department here. People are going to have 8 a.m. biology classes that they just have to take. So it's just about balancing those out, maybe taking only one of those a semester so you're not missing an entire week's worth of practice, but you're only missing one or two practices a week, and then spreading those out evenly. Also really cool about our university, and I'm guessing others as well, is sometimes you have the opportunity to get your Fridays free of classes. So if you try to schedule your classes only Monday through Thursday, it offers you up to have a really nice 3-day weekend, sometimes four, like say we had Cesar Chavez Day on that Thursday. It's a really great opportunity for you to be able to get away on weekends, or if you know you're going to be traveling with your sports teams, you're not having to miss as much school if you're only scheduling your classes Monday through Thursday. And I understand not everyone can do that, but if that opportunity is presented to you, I highly encourage you to take it. This is actually my only semester so far of college that I will have a Friday class. Obviously, it is radio, and I'm broadcasting to you listeners here today, so it's not that terrible of a situation. I actually quite enjoy it. But other than that, again, this was one of the requirements for the comm department, knowing that I was going to need to schedule this in at some point. I wasn't going to be scheduling it during fall, during the prime of my soccer season. I needed to wait until spring where I could balance it a lot more appropriately. The final thing I have today in regards to registration is just about maybe your friends, because obviously if you have these required classes you're going to need to take, consider taking classes together. And that could be your science classes and things like that. And don't just take a class because your friend is, but knowing someone in the class beforehand actually gives you a hand up, because you're already going to have a study partner that you can go to, someone in case you're really sick you need notes from and things like that. So just remember that as you go to register next week or in the next couple of weeks. And part of being in college is meeting new people, so also don't be afraid of that. It's about that time here in the studio for a little media timeout, folks. I hope you've enjoyed listening here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Red, and we will be back shortly with my show, Freshman 15.
Did you know that a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds? At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field. Just turn it off. Trust me, whatever it is, you'll live. This public service announcement is brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
And welcome back to Penguin Radio. This is me, DJ Red, your host of Freshman 15 here at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I hope you enjoyed my public service announcement there about texting and driving. Again, guys, this is a serious issue, so make sure you do not do that. The next segment I want to jump into today in regards to my college advice that I want to share with you throughout our journey here this semester, and it's a topic we have not covered yet today, but I feel like it's really fitting in regards to who I am and how important it is to college, but it is fitness. Yes, in the past we have talked about healthy eating habits, and I am a student athlete, which I've mentioned many, many times here on my show. But fitness is something we have not talked about, so I thought that was an important topic that we should cover today. So in college, it's kind of the land of the all-nighters, endless studying, and some of the best parties you're going to have in your life which is why it may seem impossible to find time to actually exercise. And keep in mind that everyone's fitness needs and abilities may vary, so this is in no means a complete fitness guide for every student. Obviously, you might be tuning in like, oh, of course she's might be really fit and she can have all these expectations because she's a college student athlete. But I understand, and so does everybody else out there, that if you're concerned about your fitness goals, body image, and that's a huge issue in regards to college or relationships with your exercise, I just suggest that you check in maybe with a doctor or a psychologist to address your individual needs and health issues. Always just push yourself to your limits. Don't ever push yourself in comparison to other people. It's okay to ask for help. But other than that, let's jump on into my fitness advice. The first and biggest advice that I have in regards to all students out there who are worried and or interested in starting exercise in college, just keep in mind that for the last couple of years, you've actually been required to take physical education in your public and or private high school education. You were taking it almost every single day, if not every day. And that was something that's a huge difference when you come into college. So you're all of a sudden not getting the exercise that you once were, and you might notice yourself gaining a few extra pounds that you're trying to get rid of. And the best way and resource to actually get rid of this is through your school's rec center. I think almost every single campus around the America, at least, offers some kind of a fitness or recreational center for their students. Our university, as well as many, many others, it's a free service for students, and it promotes a healthy lifestyle choice by providing students with full access to like an equipped gym with weight training, swimming pools most of the time. We have tennis courts and other recreational amenities where we just have open gym time where you could shoot around with a basketball, play ping pong, anything to just get involved and get up on your feet and doing some sort of activity. Some also offer different group fitness classes, such as indoor cycling, boot camps. I know our school offers yoga and dance fitness programs, which is really, really fun. I highly recommend those. And it just gives students a chance to learn new skills, if anything, and interact with fellow students in a really non-competitive environment, which is awesome. And it doesn't force you to feel like you need to be the best at something, because, again, we're just encouraging students to get out there and stay active. Many colleges host running clubs and things like that, or other social group fitness things, whether it's different dance parties or whatever it might be. There's a lot of different opportunities, so look into those. A lot of times they will have flyers all around the rec center of different events coming up and things like that. Membership is usually free, as I've mentioned, and it can be a great opportunity to meet some like-minded people like you who are interested in staying fit and active, and then you don't have to go alone. Some centers also offer different intramural sports for students. So maybe that's not playing at a collegiate level like a NCAA Division II, like Dominican's athletics program is, but it's playing at just a more recreational fun level. And you're joining a league regardless of your skill with other students, and you're joining the team, and it can help students stay active and, again, enjoy a competitive sport without the stress or pressure of needing to perform at your like optimal level, and you can balance it with your class schedule and things like that. It's also really attractive. It's an attractive alternative for many students who simply they don't know how to work out in the gym. So when you take on the group fitness or just join a different recreational sports team, then that gives you a chance to kind of learn. And a lot of times they'll have coaches and things like that who are out there helping you. So that's a really awesome opportunity that I really encourage students to look into. Between those two here at Dominican, I know some of the examples because I'm kind of involved with rec sports. So we offer a wide variety of rec sports for our students, whether it's 5v5 basketball tournaments, we have volleyball games, ping pong, as I've mentioned. We have strength and conditioning classes with a professional bodybuilder that comes in and teaches yoga, dancing, Zumba. So many fun stuff, indoor and outdoor soccer. If you've ever heard of bubble soccer, which is those blow up things that you wear and you run around and bump into each other, we have those really fun events. We have different pool parties, softball games that are going on, so many really fun events. My favorite one to note, though, is because we're so close to the canal here in San Rafael, we actually do stand up paddle boarding and things like that. You could get out, rent a kayak with your friends, do that for an afternoon when it's really sunny. It's really, really fun. And it's discounted prices for students through the rec sports program, so why not go and do some of those things Friday afternoons? Again, a lot of the research shows, and just from personal experience, I know that you need somewhere from 30 to 60 minutes of cardio or other kinds of exercise about 3 to 6 times a week, depending on you and your schedule. Again, it's whatever you can fit in for yourself, and it's based on your needs and what you're gonna, maybe you're someone who doesn't work out a lot, so I would start slower and then always build up. You're gonna need, research shows that exercise is actually a great way to reduce stress and anxiety. And I know for me personally, that's a lot of the reason I love athletics, because it's my way of coping with some of the craziness of college. And the Anxiety and Depression Association of America reports that just jogging, walking, biking, or dancing, even 3 to 5 times a week for just 30 minutes can actually help manage your stress an exponential amount. So get on out there with your friends, dance it out. It's really great just to walk around campus or bike downtown with your friends. Those little things will really help with your stress management. Another part of exercising that a lot of students don't consider, because everyone knows cardio is a huge thing, everyone talks about cardio, but just toning your body with weights and even body weight workouts is really awesome, and that's something that could even be done in your dorm room. Maybe you're uncomfortable going out in public and participating in the whole rec sports and rec center thing like I've mentioned. So these couple of things, I have some advice or even some simple workouts that you can do on your own in the safety of your dorm room. So we're going to talk about those a little bit. And the first thing would be just, it's as simple as like investing in a jump rope or just some simple 5 or 8 pound dumbbells that you just store inside of your your dorm room. And those are things that you can utilize for your own personal workouts and stuff like that. As I mentioned, the rec centers, if they're an equipped gym, they're going to have all that equipment already for you, so you won't even have to pay extra money to have them. So I just talked about registering for classes in my last segment in case you missed it. And one of the great opportunities for a lot of universities is actually taking PE classes as part of your credits. They're not required. Again, these are those electives. But I've had friends who have taken a core or more class where they're doing a bunch of working on that summer bod and those six packs, getting their core aligned and things like that. I know at our university, they also offer Zumba classes and just different weight classes that you can take for like one unit every Friday or Saturday afternoon. So those are a great way to, one, get your units and your electives in, and two, to just stay healthy and fit and active. So why not participate in that? Because that's a really cool opportunity, right? And the second piece of advice that I have in regards to, not second, this is probably a little bit further down the line, but another advice thing that I have, and I mentioned it before, the more involved you get, you're going to meet more and more people who are like-minded, similarly minded to you in regards to wanting to stay fit and active. And that's a great way to find a workout buddy or someone who's going to be your accountability partner. And the whole point of having one of these is to just push yourself and keep you on track of going and working out. I understand that getting to the gym and doing it is sometimes the hardest part of starting a fitness regimen, but just remember that by having a buddy in the gym with you, you're going to challenge each other and you're going to push yourself to do a little bit extra or stay a little bit longer. And in the end, it's going to be really beneficial to go with somebody else. I've partnered up with, I actually had him in a couple weeks ago, Jake Moles, as a freshman here on campus. We've only gone one time, but he's asked me all the time to go into the gym with him and work out. And it's just great when you have somebody else there who is going to push you, make sure you wake up on time. In the summer, this is even something that I personally struggle with as even a student athlete. Being able to go out on your own and having to do the workouts so that you could finish your fitness packets and stuff is really hard. But by having a workout buddy with you, it forces you to get out there and do the appropriate thing. So you're, again, accountable to somebody else, not just yourself. In case you are just tuning in here, this is DJ Red here on my show, Freshman 15, and we are talking about college advice right now, specifically fitness and how to stay fit while you are in college. And it's just part of our long semester-long journey through college and ways to make it a little bit better experience for you here. I've just gone over some general advice, general statistics on what it means to stay fit, but I want to give some little personal things that I recommend to students and for those who are interested in just starting out their exercise regimen out there. So the first thing, and it's actually nothing I've used before, but I actually have a lot of friends who do it, is purchasing a stability ball. And if you don't know what that is, a stability ball is one of those giant blow-up balls, and it almost kind of looks like a yoga ball, but it's probably the size of me. I'm like 5'3". It's a huge old blue ball, sometimes in different colors. Other than that, it's just an inflatable rubber ball, and it helps students actually work on their abs and other muscles in their core area. And if you switch that out for your desk chair, either in your apartment or your dorm room, and that's the surface that you're sitting on and kind of bouncing on as you're in front of the computer or just sitting and watching television on the ball, it's utilizing your core and strengthening those muscles in ways that you never thought that you were actually using them before. And it's a really resourceful thing. And as mentioned before, friends have done this, and it's something simple that you can incorporate into your everyday life, because of course we're going to be in front of the computer a lot, we might be watching television a lot, so why not just use exercise as a way to do that? Another thing besides a stability ball, because again, we don't always have this expendable money to just use as college students, so it could be something simple as you're watching television, every time a commercial comes on, I recommend just sitting down and doing some sit-ups or doing push-ups or things like that. You do a burpee regimen, whereas where you're standing straight up, you jump up and touch the sky, get down onto the ground into push-up position, actually get down, do a push-up, again, back up, jump up, touch the sky, that's a burpee. You could do those kind of regimens, just cycle through every time a commercial comes on, doing anywhere from 10 to 20 of each of them, cycling through, getting some water, sitting down, and then enjoying your show again. Same kind of thing. I understand that Netflix is what you students utilize a lot. I know that it has only like an 8-second turnaround time, but maybe you just pause the show as soon as it starts. You make sure you get a little fitness thing in there, and then you can sit down and enjoy your show again. Those are great free ways that you don't have to get out to the gym and do your exercise, but you're still getting active and you aren't just sitting for hours on end doing a Netflix binge. You can actually incorporate some fitness into it. Another great thing that I've actually had friends use, my one friend Alyssa uses different workout videos and things like that. And even if you don't want to purchase those videos, again, a free way to go and use them is through YouTube. They offer a lot of different fitness routines. I was looking at this one this last week called Blogilates, and it's minimal to no equipment needed. Again, it's something you can do in your dorm or apartment. You just look up different fitness stuff on YouTube, and they're relatively short things that you could do. Again, incorporate your roommates with you, your suite mates, so that all of you are getting together. It's maybe something that you do every Wednesday night. Everyone comes together and they do their Blogilates, and it's really, really fun. And again, no one's going to be judging you. It's just about getting out and doing the exercise. So why not pick the ones that you like and go with it? And if you don't like it, then you don't have to do it again next week. You just try a new one. So I think that's a really great way to stay active, and it becomes your choice of what you're wanting to do there. A couple other little things that people might not consider could be dog walking. And I know this seems really silly, but it's a great way to make additional money and stay active. So you just make flyers or something saying you're willing to walk people's dogs for 1 or 2 hours a week, and you pick them up and you're just walking around the campus, around your university and things like that. And I think that's a great way to stay involved, because as I've mentioned before, if you're getting anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes of cardio 3 or 6 times a week, if you're doing that while walking someone's dog, that's a great way to, one, mingle with friends. You could take other people with you, and you don't have to walk alone. And then you have a dog for security purposes. If for some reason you feel uncomfortable walking around your university, you now have a dog to protect you, or even get a little bit of a jog going with the dogs. I don't know. I just thought that was a great way to stay fit if that's something you are interested in. Something else that I was considering, because our school swimming pool is actually going to be reopening April 19th. If you didn't know that, that is the day. And a great way to stay fit is just by swimming. And a lot of people don't consider that, but if you just swim a couple of laps in between your tanning sessions, maybe you tan for 45 minutes, hop in the pool, do a couple of laps to cool off, go back out on the sand or chairs, whatever it might be around your university or at home, and then do your tanning again, that's a great way to incorporate exercise and cardio into your day-to-day routine. So I encourage you guys to start swimming and stuff like that. And sometimes a lot of times it's really hard to keep track of all this stuff. So there's great applications on your phone that you can utilize. I know a lot of students don't even know what it means to get into the gym and do a good workout. They'll just stand on a treadmill like, okay, now what do I do? So there's a lot of great applications you can actually get on your mobile devices that will help guide you through an appropriate workout plan and things like that. The one application my friend and I were actually just speaking about, she is a DJ here, Jafiel. She's really great. She was telling me about an application called Charity Miles, and this is something I wanted to share with you guys today. So Charity Miles is actually a mobile app where you choose a charity that you are passionate about and you just hit the streets. As you walk and run, bike, whatever it might be, the app will actually measure the distance that you go, and with every mile it will contribute money to the charity that you're interested in. And this could be so far they have different organizations that go for the ASPCA for animals, or maybe something like breast cancer or wounded warriors, so dealing with veterans, anything that you might be interested in. I know that they have partners with a lot of different charities on this application. I've just briefly looked over it, but it's something I'm interested in starting. And why not give back to something productive? And it makes you feel like the work you're putting in is actually putting in work somewhere else. A lot of times people feel like fitness is a waste of their time. So why not make every mile matter by getting out? And with every step you take, it's a step closer to raising money for a charity that you're interested in. And I thought that was a great slogan. Again, this application is called Charity Miles, so go ahead and check that out. I think that one's really, really awesome. And so far, that's kind of all I have in regards to fitness. There's a lot of different, I could give you personal things that I do, but again, coming from a student athlete's perspective, I know that's not one many people can identify with. So I just wanted to give some general kind of out there advice that you might be able to pick up on, try something new for yourself. Again, I'm going to reiterate that just joining the rec center and intramural teams is a great way to stay involved. I know my friends go out to 10 to 11 p.m. volleyball nights, and they love it. You get free t-shirts. Sometimes you get prizes. So many cool things are going on at your rec center. So again, check those out. I just want to take another quick break here in the studio. So don't close that webpage. This is DJ Red with my show, Freshman 15, and we will be back shortly. Thank you, guys.
Times, tell me how it's gonna be. What we do now really yoga, Zumba, weight training classes, and more. At Dominican University of California, the Conlon Center offers a wide range of amenities to benefit your everyday health and wellness.
Do you want that Freshman 15? I don't think so.
So come on down to the Conlon Center, and while you're there, don't miss a second of the Penguin basketball games and volleyball matches that are held in the gymnasium.
And the Penguins win 78-76. The unthinkable has happened at the Conlon Center.
Not on a sports team, but want to play? No problem.
All DU students are encouraged to participate in rec sports. After a practice or a game, you can cool off by jumping into the pool. It's all at the Conlon Center.
Only at Dominican University of California.
And welcome back. This is DJ Red, your host of Freshman 15, and I'm broadcasting live from Dominican University of California, the official home of Penguin Radio here at radio.dominican.edu. In case you are just tuning in here today, I have gone over a couple of personal college advice. The first segment was about registration. I know that people are going to need to pick their classes for their fall 2016 semester, and that's right around the corner, so I gave some advice on that. We then jumped on into fitness, followed by that amazing public service announcement about the Conlon Rec Center here at Dominican. And in general, we just talked about great ways to stay fit and healthy while in college. The last segment I'm going to jump into with you guys today is about paying off student debt. Yay! Because everybody loves money and all of this debt that we are collecting, right? Not so. Has the thought ever crossed your mind, how in the world am I going to pay off my student debt when I graduate from this place, whatever university that might be? Well, if it has, at least I know that you guys are sane out there. And for me personally, the thought of this looming college debt is enough to keep me up at night. And I thought this was an important segment to jump into. And this is also a little bit different segment because I am only a junior here in college. So this isn't something that I can give a lot of personal advice on. And this was a great opportunity for me to kind of actually get out there and research some information in regards to other people's debt collection, how to deal with all of that, and whatever it may be. So the biggest thing to consider, I obviously know that many of you are already in college if you're tuning in, and or you are out of college, whatever it may be. But say you are a prospective student tuning in, trying to find out a little bit more about Dominican and college in general, there are financial aid packages that you are provided each and every year when you attend university that are granted through your university and FAFSA and things like that. And this all plays into the cost of your education. And we know better than anyone that the cost of pursuing a higher education is just skyrocketed in the last couple of years. Excuse me, I believe that some of the numbers are out there that we are, as a nation, just within, I almost believe, the trillions in regards to student debt that has collected in the last decade. Other than that, there needs to be a way that we can contribute to paying this off. And the first thing I actually want to look at is the cost of private school versus state school or UC education. What are the benefits of going to a junior college straight out of high school and things like that? Because these are questions that I get and I've had to analyze in my life and with my younger sister. So I kind of wanted to talk about those for a little bit. A lot of times people question why I chose to go to a private university, knowing that the tuition fee was exponentially high and a lot higher than most. And my reasoning for that, and I will argue this till I'm blue in the face, because I love my private school education. I believe that allows for a much more personalized education, but I digress. The money is a problem, obviously. It is a lot more expensive to go to a Dominican than to go to, let's say, a San Francisco State or another state school here in California. So for me, what went into my entire financial aid package and my family's consideration of where I could afford to go to school went down to the fact that a lot of private schools will actually offer more academic money for their students because they just have more money coming into the university from different donors and things like that. So whereas at a state school, I didn't stand out as an excellent student, at a private school, I stand out a little bit more. And I was actually able to cut the cost of my education at a private school in half almost, which makes it balance out pretty evenly to pursuing education at a state school. Sorry, incorrect statement there. But for me, cutting my private school education in half because of academic scholarships balanced out similar to the price of attending a state or UC school, at least here in California. So that was a huge bonus for my family. And even in regards to that, my personal situation, I didn't qualify for much, if any, FAFSA money coming in my freshman year, being the first daughter in my family to go to college. I was going to be the only one. We didn't qualify. So again, therefore, the federal government was not going to be giving me money to attend any state or UC schools. So it didn't help me or was a detriment to me on either side there. And the next one obviously came in regards to athletics and the potential of pursuing athletic money. I chose to pursue a Division II athletic school versus a Division III because they do offer money in D3 or D2. Again, sorry for the thing there. They offer money in Division II, not III. So that is why I chose Dominican as well. But these are all really important things to consider when looking at your financial aid packages. I had mentioned it before, but a lot of people are transitioning into going to a junior college before they come to a four-year university, and that is simply because it helps get your general education requirements out of the way in those first 2 years, and then transferring over to a four-year university, hopefully cutting some of the cost of that student debt that you're going to be taking afterwards. The big part of this segment that I actually wanted to jump into, because again, I said I don't have a lot of personal experience, I was listening to this amazing podcast recently within the last week, and I highly encourage you to check out the entire website. It's actually called College Info Geek, and I've gotten a lot of different material from there and influence from this guy. His name is Thomas. He's the main guy over at College Info Geek, and he was holding a specific interview with a woman named Stephanie Halligan, I believe, and that's how you pronounce it. And she's the founder of Empowered Dollar, and she's accredited as one of the most entertaining personal finance writers on the internet. And I just listened to this 45-minute interview that he had with her, and her story was actually miraculous. So I wanted to share that with you today. But it's just a summary of how this is all going to go. Stephanie, shortly after graduating, used smart salary negotiation practices to land raises in her job that totaled up to $13,000 more than her starting payment. And it was one of the key reasons she was able to pay off a $34,500 student loan debt in just under 4 years. And that is absolutely miraculous. So I wanted to share some of her personal story tips with you, because again, I don't have any of those, but Stephanie's story just spoke to me, and I figured it was a good one to share in regards to some a more proactive way to tackle your student loan debt. In case you are just tuning in here in the studio, this is DJ Red, and you are listening to my show, Freshman 15. It's a semester-long journey through college and the craziness that is these 4 years here and things like that, and we just talk about different advice, and we're talking about paying off student debt, which I know is something that plagues almost every single one of us here. And we're talking about a special lady named Stephanie and her personal story through it. So let's get on into that. Again, Stephanie Halligan finished school in just 4 years. And within her 4 years, as many of us do from our federal and or private loans that we get, she was collecting about $6,000 a year in student loans based on whatever package she was given. This is all information, again, that I have collected from this interview that was conducted on College Info Geek. So Stephanie, obviously, when you look at that, you're thinking, okay, it's only $6,000, like, that's fine. But over 4 years, that accumulates and it all adds up. You add in what is called a interest, and that, again, adds more money to your total value that you're going to have to be spending. And by the end of her 4 years, she had a total of up to, again, $34,000 worth of student loans to be paying off. And when you're coming out of college, Stephanie stated that she had unrealistic expectations of the cost of living. Because when you're in college, you're living in a dorm, you might have a meal plan, things like that. You aren't driving in between work and things as much as you may be in college. So when she hit adulthood, she was just assuming that a 40,000 dollar a year job was going to be a sufficient way to pay off her student debt, and she was completely wrong. She had no idea what it was actually going to take, and at least that's what she was saying during this interview. And even within my own mind hearing this, I was like, oh, like I would have assumed the same thing. A $40,000 a year job seems pretty sufficient when you're only considering the fact that in total your tuition or your loans might add up to, again, like Stephanie's, $35,000 seems about right. But you're going to need to be paying for other things, right? Like rent, transportation, as I've mentioned, food maybe, and stuff like that. But I digress. So back into Stephanie's story. Some of her loan was subsidized, whereas others was unsubsidized. And that is the case with me as well. And that just means that some of her money is going to have interest rates put on it while others will not. And that's just based on your FAFSA and what you qualify for. And I think learning what this actually means early on is beneficial to you and kind of tracking how you plan on tackling your student loans. There's always this grace period after you graduate from college, so keep that in mind as well. You have a couple months to figure out a job opportunity if you already don't have one set in stone upon graduation, but I encourage you to just start paying off that debt as soon as possible, as Stephanie mentioned as well in the interview. And the way she started tackling her student debt was by making a top three financial responsibilities list that she kept in the back of her mind, run post-it notes all over her apartment and things like that. And the top three financial responsibilities for her that she said was paying off the loan was always number one. Number two was going to be visiting her family who was back on the West Coast as she lived on the East Coast. She made that an important goal to always set aside money to do that at least twice a year. And her third goal was to buy healthy food because she didn't want to let her weight and the exercise she's been doing go to waste. She wanted to stay a fit person. So those were her top three things that she was going to be putting money towards. So that might mean living in a lower income area, a less expensive apartment, cutting back on her gym memberships, not going out to eat as much, things like that. But she knew no matter what, she was going to need to put money towards those three things. And I thought that was a really great takeaway that all of us should consider by prioritizing what money really needs to go to. And this kind of ties into my conversation I had last week in regards to budgeting in college, and you're going to have fixed income versus unfixed income, whether that's rent or your car payments, phone payments, things like that. Just keep those in mind. Where can you start cutting money in your life when you need to start paying for these student loans? The last and important part of this interview that Thomas held with Stephanie is regards to her proactive negotiation when it came to her starting salary at her jobs right out of college. And this was beneficial to me because I always just assumed when you come out of college that you're going to have grunt work and you're going to just get what you get and you don't throw a fit. But she was talking about how she was able to increase her salary, starting salaries within her first two jobs and her first 5 years of working by $13,000, and that was amazing to me. So I was really influenced by what she had to say about that. And it's just about not being complacent with where you are, and it's a balance of just asking what you want for and things like that. She said she would have discussions every single year with her boss where she would talk about her responsibilities, what was required of her, and the work she was producing. She'd ask how she can actually improve upon it and step up her game so that at some point she can get a promotion or a salary increase. So that way it's put on the boss's radar as well as her own personal radar to always be improving and getting more money. So that was something that I'm going to be keeping in the back of my mind and encourage all of you to do as well, is having these yearly conversations with your boss, trying to pull out as much money as you can, because the more income you're making, obviously, the more you're going to be contributing to your student loan debt. And I thought that was really, really important. Again, as you start making more money, it's a balance between being frugal and then talking yourself up enough to increase your salary. As I've mentioned, Stephanie kept referencing back to the different things like that, where she just kept those three financial responsibilities no matter how much income she ended up accumulating, things like that. Again, I'd like to reference this back to my public speaking discussion I had last week. We talked about building some of those skills and how important it was. This all attributes back to the fact that when you sit down and you present to your boss, this is going to be important. Those public speaking skills and persuasion and stuff like that, keep that in mind. You can always go back on radio.dominican.edu and listen to my previous week's broadcast. I highly encourage you to do that. Again, this is Freshman 15 with DJ Red. Go ahead and check those out. And in the long term, just remember, you're going to want to also be saving some money, whether it's to purchase a car or things like that. So whenever you get a paycheck, always remember to distribute it, whether it's 25% to savings, 25% set aside to just life, and then maybe even a huge chunk of that. 50% of each paycheck that comes in needs to go towards something like your loans. And I think that was a great piece of advice that Stephanie gave. And that's kind of all I have in regards to Stephanie's interview and what I took from it and what I wanted to pass along as advice for how you can pay off some of these loans. Her last bit of advice was to pay off your private loans before your federal loans. I don't know anything about that, but that was her advice. A lot of times I've heard that the interest rates on private loans are a lot higher, so I would consider that. Anything else that might be important would just be keeping in mind that these debts are going to be there no matter what. So starting now, saving early, having a part-time job, those are all going to be really important things in regards to finishing out your 4 years and knowing that at some point you are going to have to pay off your student debts and accept that responsibility. It's not fun, but it's something we can all tackle together. And this kind of concludes my college advice for this week here on Penguin Radio. We always kind of rush through the last segment, but I always have such great advice to share with you guys, and I'm always really excited about it, so I'm sorry to rush through that. This has been DJ Red, and I appreciate you guys who come in every single week and listen to what I have to say. It really has been awesome so far, and this last two episodes I have coming up in the next couple of weeks are going to be awesome, and I'm really excited to finish out this semester-long journey with you guys. Again, thank you so much. I hope you have an amazing weekend, and God bless everybody out there. In case you got lost in the awesomeness that is my show, for the last hour, I've been sharing some personal college advice. If you like what I had to say this week, I highly encourage you to tune in again next Friday, 11 a.m. for the Freshman 15 with me, DJ Red. Thank you guys so much for listening in on radio.dominican.edu. Penguin Radio is the official radio station of Dominican University of California, where fellow students like myself are given the opportunity to write, produce, and record our own personalized radio programs. We are sponsored by the Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences program and produced under the Communication and Media Studies Department, where our chair is Brad Van Alstein, our executive producer is Leona George Davidson, and our faculty advisor is Stuart Horn. I hope you all have had a great time tuning in, and have a great weekend, everybody. Don't touch that dial, ladies and gentlemen. This is DJ Red, and I will be your host for this afternoon's Penguin Press Pass, Real Students, Real News. We'll be going live in the studio between the hours of 12:30 p.m. and 12:40 p.m., so make sure you come back and tune in for, again, that's Penguin Press Pass with the DJs of Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. This is DJ Red, signing out.